scripture that is, but we'll get to it. But I want to kind of deal with some of the things that we are, some of the things prior to here. It says, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them that do such things and doeth the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Thank you. Leadeth thee to repentance. For after the hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. You know, the Lord is going to render to us according to our deeds. It's not going to be according to what somebody said or somebody that vouches for us or our mother or father or whoever. He's going to look at what we have done, and he's going to give us the reward according to our deeds. All right. To them, this is the scripture, seventh verse here. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. So in other words, the Lord is going to be, he's concerned about what you're doing. He's concerned about what you are doing and what you're not doing. Some of the things that we do, of course, some of the things that people do are not according to the way the Lord wants them to be. And some of the things that people don't do is not according to the way the Lord wants it to be. So he says here, by patient continuance. Now, to me, what that means in my mind, we're talking about continuing and being patient and continuing in well-doing. There are going to be times in our own experience, and I don't believe that there's anybody that that's been saved for any length of time that has not been tempted by the enemy. And I've been tempted to say, you know, what benefit is it for me to continue to do what's right and do what's good? Maybe it's with an individual that maybe you're extending yourself to somebody, and in your mind, it just doesn't seem like it's doing any good whatsoever. And so you get a little bit flustered and a little bit discouraged and disappointed in how things are going. And so you want to stop. And you're tempted that way. And I believe all of us come to places that we're tempted that way. And sometimes there are temptations that that the enemy presents to us. You know what? Living saved is just too hard. It's just not worth it. It's just too much. God requires too much suffering, too much. The devil comes and says those things to us, doesn't he? But let me tell you, he says, and if we're patient and we continue on in the things that the Lord has shown us, we're going to reap. There's going to be some benefit out of it in the end. It says here, to them that who by patient continuance in well-doing, what are we seeking for? One of the things that we cannot do is take our eyes off of the goal. The Lord knows that we're motivated by things, and there are certain things that motivate us, and we're motivated by rewards, and that's how we learn things, and that's how we've learned a lot of the just normal things of life. But the Lord also realizes and knows that there's a reward in heaven, so we're seeking for that reward, don't we? Aren't we? And we're in the place that we realize that if I just keep doing one foot in front of the other, it may take me some time. It may seem like it's drudgery. It may not seem like it's beneficial for me to continue to go through this, but I'm going to be patient in it, and I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep doing it, and ultimately what I'm going to get is the prize that I'm looking for. Saints, it's worth it. Don't let the devil tell you that salvation is not worth it. Maybe sometimes here we wonder, what is the exchange and what am I getting? But you know what I've learned? I've been out in sin, and I spent a portion of my life out there. No, I didn't go as deep as a lot of other folks went, but I went deep enough to realize that I didn't want to live that kind of a life. And I thank the Lord that when He saved me not just for a few years, not just to get, I'm going to live saved for 5 years or 10 years, or, you know, some folks go to work and they work for 30 years and then they retire. They don't have to do it anymore, do they? They can sit down and enjoy themselves, but that's not how it is in salvation, is it? We don't get a retirement. Our retirement is over on the other side. We don't just get a pension that we can live saved for 50 years and then all of it is over and we can sit down and do what we want to after that and just draw our pension. We don't do that, do we? We have to continue to fight, continue to work. This is an army, and I'm enlisted in that army until I die. It's not something that I can do just for a space of time, and then it's good enough and it's over. To them who by patient continuance, they just continue in well-doing, they seek glory and honor and immortality, What's the reward, saints? Eternal life. You know what? Really, what we all want. You know, I look at myself sometimes. I look in the mirror, and I look at other folks as well. We were kind of having a discussion about my brother, and he's 9 years older than I am. Probably got less wrinkles and all head full of hair, and no gray hair. So I asked him about that, and he told me there was a little secret about that. The secret about the no gray hair is you can go get the little bottle at the dollar store, can't you? And just put it in there for wait for so many minutes and wash it out, right? And no gray hair. But you know what? We get old, don't we? And what we want really is we look back and I wish I had, you know, as we talk about these things, we wish we had the wisdom that we have now and we could go back 25, 30 years ago, right? With the same wisdom that we have now, you don't know how much different our lives would be. If you knew right now, then what you know now, how much better your life would be, how much some of the things that you did, you wouldn't do, and some of the things that you didn't do, you would do. And most of us that have been saved for any length of time, we would have gotten saved earlier, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
And we would have been more serious about it sooner. And we wouldn't have gotten in some of the trouble and having some of the things that we're having to deal with, some of the decisions that we made that seemed like they were not that bad of decisions. We found out that they were bad decisions, right? At the time, it didn't seem like that. But ultimately, what we want is we want youth. We want vitality. We want to be young. You understand what I'm saying? And as I see people that are getting older, well, you say, no, I don't want to do that. But the reason we don't want to do it, nobody wants to just get old and be 90 or 100 years old. Would you rather be 40, 30 or 40 or 100? Would you rather be like, was it Joshua and Caleb, where they were old and their strength hadn't abated? That's what we want, right? Well, that is a type of eternal life. That we're there for eternity, throughout all eternity. You know what a million-year-old man looks like, so to speak, in heaven? He's young. That's young in the light of eternity. You know what, 100 years? You know what? The brother said something in Sunday school today that really stuck with me. He said, we're going to have a new body.
Yeah.
We're going to get to trade this one in. You know how many of you would want to trade your car in for a brand new one? Almost every one of us would trade our car in for a brand new one. If we can get any car that we wanted, we would trade it in, wouldn't we? We can't afford to, so we keep this and we just make do with what we got. And it's working for us fine, and so we're just going to make do. And you know what? We can't trade this body in on this side of eternity, but let me tell you, I'm going to trade it in over on the other side. I'm going to have a new body. Eternal life. That's what I'm looking for. And so the only way for me to have eternal life is to continue in the things that I know are right. The things that the Lord has laid down in His Word for me. My responsibility is to make certain that I keep doing it. Don't get weary in well doing. Don't stop, because ultimately the reward that I'm going to get, the reward that you're going to get, is eternal life. You know, eternal life where God is, where the devil can't touch us. The devil, there's no more devil. Isn't that going to be wonderful? No more sin. No more people that are get offended with you or offend you. Nothing like that. You love everybody, and everybody loves you. That's going to be wonderful. And you know, sometimes I don't think that we preach on heaven enough, but that's where we got to go, saints.
Yeah.
Don't give up. Amen. And when are you going to get there? Anybody have any idea when they're going to get there? You may get there tonight. I may get there tonight. That's why I've got to keep going. That's why I've got to continue, because I don't know. You know, you want to go to California, you want to go on a trip someplace to Europe or wherever. What do? We make plans. We're going to Hawaii, thanks to the congregation, in September. We've got the plans. We're going to make the plans, and we know when we're going. All right? Very little change with that. We know maybe we're supposed to arrive there at a certain time, perhaps, and it might be delayed, right? It may be delayed for 2 or 3 hours, but we're going to go, generally speaking, that day or the very next day. Right? And when it comes time to come back, we're going to know when we're going to come back. But do you know, we got a place to go in heaven. We don't know when we're going to go there. Some folks that are very sick in their bodies thought about how
Maybe more than a week ago, they gave Sister Karen 72 hours. As far as we know, she's still with us. And maybe a month ago, they were telling it wouldn't be long. And this is a person that's very, very sick down to the end of their lives unless the Lord heals her. And I'd like to see the Lord do that. I'd like to see the Lord heal her. But they said that, you know, it won't be long. 72 hours, she's going to be gone, and she's still here. But you know what? It'd be good for her. She no doubt wants to go home. Eternal life. She gets to trade this old body, this frail body in for a new one. Saints, keep going. Don't get discouraged. One of the things that we are not to continue in, the scripture says, in one place shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound. It says, God forbid. Do I have any regrets of stopping sin? No. None. I've never regretted it from that moment to this. And you know, it grieves me when I see people turn their back and want to go back in the direction that they came from. Lord, have mercy. Let's go to Romans, the 5th chapter, and let's start reading at the first verse. Romans 5, verse 1.
Therefore, being justified by faith,
we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ,
by whom also
we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. We have access. We have access by faith. Now, what that tells us? That tells us that whatever we need, you need more grace to be able to deal with somebody. You know, some folks are hard to deal with. I've come to that conclusion. We want to say that, you know, saints, as saints of God, we can deal with a lot of folks, but we have personalities too. And there are certain things about our personalities that maybe we don't have as much patience as we need with certain people. And some people, I've learned that some people are just hard to deal with. And you know, I look at some people that have to deal with difficult people, and you know what? We're to pray for those people. If a person is married to somebody that you know is hard, and there are those that are like that. Or they're in some kind of close proximity. Some folks work with people that are just, they just have bad attitudes. People have bad attitudes. And you know that wears on you. But you know what? We have access to grace. We can ask the Lord, Lord, I need some grace to be able to deal with this person. I need some grace to be able to deal. I need your power, your authority, your divine favor. I need that to be able to deal with the person like I need to deal with them. All right, read. By whom we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Do you glory in your, are you glad? Do you look at your trials and your tribulations as something that's wonderful? No, we don't tend to do that, do we? But we have to ask the Lord, Lord, give me a different perspective so that I can look at the things that are happening to me, these trials, these heavy places that all of us go through. Lord, I need to see them from a different perspective. Because if we don't, we'll get discouraged by them. We'll become discouraged, and it just seems like life isn't fair. And Lord, why are you allowing these things to happen to me? Nobody else has to go. Do you ever look at it like that? Have you ever looked at it like this? Lord, it seems like nobody else, well, nobody else is you. You are you. You're a vessel that the Lord has made so unique that nobody else is like you. Stop comparing yourself with everybody else. And there are some things that they're going through, you don't even know what they're going through. And they may be going through some things that are much more difficult than what you're going through, but they've learned how to get the grace of God and go through that like they're needing to go through it. Lord, help you to do it as well. Help me to do it as well. They're smiling when they're going through the tribulation. We've all seen people like that. We heard of a testimony that somebody was given when they went to see Sister Karen. Lord, put her on my heart. They went to see her and she was smiling, just a big smile. Her sister was talking about it a few months ago. And she was encouraging them rather than them. They received encouragement from somebody that is sick. Lord, have mercy on us to go through our tribulation. What does it say? Tribulation works what? Patience. What is patience? Patience is that I just gotta wait for a long time, don't I? I've gotta wait and wait and wait. Lord, I want you to redeem me. I want you to take me out of this trial. I want you to take me out of this tribulation. But Lord, until you do, I'm gonna wait right here until you do. Give me the grace to do it, Lord. Give me the grace to wait. Give me the grace to not murmur and complain against you. Give me the grace not to be offended by you, by what you're allowing to happen to my life. Lord, have mercy on me. All right, so it says tribulation
worketh patience.
And patience.
Experience. All right, so patience. After I've waited a little while, I learn something in the wait, don't we?
Yes.
Do you know, how do we learn anything? We don't learn it just like that, do we? There is repetition. There is, we have over and over and over. And there is a period of time that when we master a particular thing, it is because we have stuck with it and we've finally gotten a hold of it. Have you ever, there's some, any kind of subject, whatever the subject may be in school. Maybe it's a difficult subject and then all of a sudden the light bulb comes on and you've gone over and the tutor has been there and they've tried to tell you and you just didn't get it, and then all of a sudden the light bulb comes on and now I understand. Well, it took some time, didn't it? So really everything takes time. For us to get the experience that we need, it's going to take time. Those of us that, the older ones, you know how we got the experience? You know how we can tell the young folks that have a lot more education than we do? You know, I was telling somebody, you might have we were teasing, I was telling my daughter, you might be getting have a doctorate in this or in education, but I've got one in life. And it took me 50 years to get it. And I can tell somebody that's much younger than I am, I can tell them some things, can't we? And let me tell you, those that are older than me can tell me some things as well. You know why? Because it took patience. You can't get 50. You know, there's one way to get there. And that's one year at a time, one moment at a time, and just to keep waiting. You remember how long it took you to get to be 13? Remember how when you were 12, we weren't preteens back then. I don't know. We were just waiting to get 13. But nowadays, I'm a preteen. They're 11 years old, 10, 11 years old, and they're a preteen. And then once you get to be kind of over the hill, you want things to kind of slow down. Patience. Just keep going. You're going to get to be 100 years old if you keep living. You're going to get there. You're going to get to be 60 years old if you keep living. 70 years old if you keep living. Just keep doing it. All right? Read.
Patience,
experience. Experience, hope. Hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now it says, experience hope. Now you know what that tells us? Experience tells me that we've been through some things, and we've been through some very, very hard places. And we can look, it's a song that we sang, I can look far down the mountain, where I wandered many years. All right? You can look far down the mountain, experience looks far down the mountain, and experience has Ebenezer stones, places in our experience that God took us through this, He'll take me through what I'm going through now. And that's what gives us hope. That I have hope because of my experience. And I have experience because I was willing to wait. May the Lord help us. And I was patient with this thing. And I sought the Lord and I sought the grace of God. May the Lord help us to realize that. All right, let's go to John, the 15th chapter. And let's read the 9th verse.
As the Father has loved me.
As the Father has loved me,
so have I.
Isn't that wonderful? The Lord, this is Jesus speaking. He says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you.
Continue you
in my love. So he says here, continue. Do you know you need the love of God? Do you know what drew you? You know why you come to church? Do you know why you're sitting in the pews that you're sitting in right now? It is, but oh, well, I just thought I needed to come to church today. No, it was because of the love of God.
Yeah.
It's because the Lord showed you a level of love in your life. And the Lord, as He shows you, what He says is continue in His love. Whatever it takes, you continue in the love of God. And let me tell you, the devil is going to do everything that he possibly can to discourage you, to tell you, well, if the Lord loved you, then why is He allowing you to go through this? Or why do you have to go to this hard place? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ Himself came down, and He came, because of His love, He came down on the cross and died because He loved you, because He loves me. But you know, the only way for me to get to heaven, the only way for us to get to heaven is to continue in the love of God. If we get discouraged and we decide that we don't want it anymore, then the Lord's not going to force us, lock us in a cage, and make us love Him. All right. All right, Hebrews 13 and 1. All right, let brotherly love continue. All right, just like it is our responsibility to hold on to God, just like He's holding on to us. We're going to be tried, we're going to be tested, but we're going to hold on to the Lord, aren't we? And in the same way, the scripture here that says, let brotherly love continue. Do you know there's a lot of things that get in the way of brotherly love? Now, what this is the love, first of all, we're talking about the love that flows from us to the Lord and back. And so as He has loved us, we are to continue in His love. And so we're continuing to allow the flow of love from the Lord Jesus Christ down into us. We're to allow that to continue to flow. The scripture says in one place, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Because of what we see around us, because of what we see other people are doing and other people don't love the Lord like we love Him, it affects our love. And I was on the, I don't have a Facebook page, thank God. I have no regrets about that. And some folks want to say, well, Brother Darrell, it would be good for you to be on Facebook because it's an encouragement to other people to see someone standing for the Lord. Well, you know what? It's a discouragement to me to see other people that should be standing for the Lord that aren't. And are so bold in opening themselves up about, Lord, have mercy on us. All right, there was a point that I was going to make there. I don't know what that point was. Pray for us. I know what I was going to say. So here is, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. When you see other people, it used to be that all you had to deal with was the people that were on the job in your neighborhood and all that. And people are getting just more and more wicked, aren't they? But now those people that you feel like should be standing for something, having a love for the Lord, you see that they are beginning to let down on their intensity with the Lord. And because iniquity shall abound, because they see the iniquity that is around them, it is affecting them. And because they see someone that once stood for a truth and once stood for an embracing of the things of God, they're not doing it anymore as diligently as it's going to affect you. And it's going to cause your love to start to wane if you're not careful. That's why we're to allow, by the grace of God, Lord, let continue in the love of God. Now, we want to talk here a little bit about brotherly love. Let brotherly love continue. So it says let. And so in other words, you give the permission, you give the, you open yourself up to allow brotherly love to continue. The sister brought out a point that the devil is fighting relationships. That is a very true statement. He's fighting when there is a good marital relationship where you know the Lord has put you together. Do you know the devil is going to fight that? He's going to do everything that he possibly can to break it up because it represents Christ and the church. And anything that represents Christ and the church, one of the things that the devil tries to do and he endeavors to do and he does a very good job of it is pervert it. And we've talked about a same-sex marriage. That is a perversion of marriage. It is a perversion of what the Lord has ordained. And so the enemy is going to do everything that he can to destroy relationships. Relationship anywhere where there is unity, the devil is going to do everything that he can to disrupt that unity. And I've seen it happen over and over and over again. I've seen it happen in marriages that should still be together and the devil has fought to tear them apart. I see it in relationships with siblings. I see it in relationships with friends. I see it in relationships in the church. There are things that will happen in relationships where you have to have long suffering. You have to be patient one with another in order to maintain a relationship. And it has to come from both sides. One party cannot keep a relationship intact. It takes two. Each of us are going to have to give and take. Each of us are going to have to submit. Now, we cannot submit to wrong. We cannot go against our convictions. We have to stand by them, but there's a way to stand by them. There's a way for us to do it. We don't get in somebody's face and force things on them, but we have to just step back and we say, you know what? my relationship with the Lord. If you want to do that, that's up to you. I don't think it's right. And I think from the standpoint of a friend and a standpoint of a brother, when you see your brother going in an opposite direction that you are convicted about, you have an obligation to say something. But you have to say it in the way that and the timing. Number one, you have to have the timing of the Lord, and you have to have the words and the Spirit of the Lord in order to say it. But you can say to your brother, you know what, I'm not comfortable with that. I don't feel like that's what the Lord would have me to do, and I'm really troubled to see you do it. But if they insist on doing it, what can I do? All I can do is pray for them. All I can do is love them. Let it continue. Don't cut them off, because some folks cut me off because I won't change. Some folks cut me off because some folks will cut you off because you still believe that the Word of God is true and they are believing something a little different. So they will cut you off. Now what do? You're a little offended, aren't you? You're hurt. You're grieved. You don't want that to happen. But what can you do? Nothing. You can pray. And you can keep loving them. You can let that love flow. Or you can say, you know what? I don't have to have you as a friend. Now some folks, I've learned this. Some people, you can't continue to have them as friends. Because of what they'll contaminate you. You know, when we got saved, there's some of my friends that I was very close to prior that I haven't been in contact with since. Because there was something that would have poisoned my relationship with the Lord. And the most important thing is my relationship with God. Alright? And there are some folks that I still have very close relationships with. Many, many years later. 30-something years later. Right? Alright. Let brotherly love continue. There are going to be things that can come against you. There are going to be things that people can say or not say. There are going to be places where they could stand, they should stand, and they don't. But you've got to keep your heart right. Yeah. You've got to keep loving them. You know, all the people, I'm going to tell you, and I've mentioned it before. Some people are hard to love. And some of the things that the people have done against us, sometimes we get to places that it just takes everything that we have to like them. But I'm saying that is not the state of a saint. It may be the initial reaction. It may be the initial thing that we go through. But ultimately what God wants us to know and understand is that He has enough grace to take us through those times. And there have been times in my own experience that I've had to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't have enough grace. But we have access to the grace. Where we can stand in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the difficulty. We can stand by going to the Lord and saying, Lord, I don't have to turn my back on people. Has the temptation been there? Yes. But the Lord helped me to see. Let brotherly love continue. Let it keep flowing from you. Even if it's flowing one way, you let it keep going. That when that person comes, you don't turn your back and go in an opposite direction. You go right up to them. You shake their hand. You hug them and you love them. I've been there sometimes. And I know the person didn't like it. But I didn't know it until afterward. I'm hugging them and I'm sharing with them because I love you. I don't have anything against you. Can I have something against you? Absolutely I can. But is it justified? No, it is not justified. It is not justified to hold anything against anybody. When the Lord Jesus Christ, when God Himself forgave you, it is up to us to forgive everybody their trespasses. That's the Lord's prayer. Lord, help me forgive them my debt as I forgive my debtors. Forgive those that I have forgive my trespasses as I forgive those that have trespassed against me. I must have the love of God in my heart. I must have forgiveness. I must forgive, or else the Lord's not going to forgive me. Let it continue. So what that means is I have the ability to stop it. You understand what I'm saying? I have the ability to stop the flow of love to my brother.
When he's done something to me, I can just take my ball and go home. I won't have nothing to do with him. He'll never have to speak to me again in my life. And so that brotherly love, you stopped it. You stopped it. Well, he did this to me and he did that to me. That's not what the Bible is talking about. The Bible is talking about how you're responding to them. Most of the things in the scripture, it's not about how they're responding to you and then you can respond in the right way. It is about how you're to respond anyway. They spit on Jesus. They slapped him. And what did he do? Did he slap them back? Did he hit him back? Did he cut off his love for them? No. He loved them enough to continue to Calvary. And you and I must love our brother enough to continue to our crosses as well. Lord, help us. Colossians 1:19. For it pleased
the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, whether they be things in earth, things in heaven. You that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable, and in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, if you continue in the faith. So that tells me that you have something to do with whether or not you continue. It doesn't mean that the trials and tribulations are so hard that you just couldn't continue. If you continue, the Lord's grace is sufficient for you to continue in the faith. Saints, continue in the faith. As I've said oftentimes, and I say it again because it's necessary for you to know that this is truth. It's necessary for you to know that. Not just for me to say it, not for you to believe it because I said it, but for you to believe it because the Lord has shown it to you, that you have a personal revelation of you continue in it. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. You continue in what the Lord has shown you. Doesn't matter what your family is doing. Doesn't matter what those that are influential are doing. It really doesn't even matter what some of the preachers are doing. What matters is what you are doing. You continue, if you continue in the faith. All right, someone, 1 Timothy 2 and 15. Someone else get us Colossians 4 and 2. We're going to read that. But I want to read 1 Timothy. Yes. Yes.
Notwithstanding.
She shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in the faith and charity and holiness and sobriety. All right. Do you know what? If you continue in faith and what the Lord has shown you, in the faith, in the doctrine of what God has shown you, and also in charity and holiness. You know, people can continue in a whole lot of things, but when it comes to holiness, who was that said something about they saw... Maybe in last Sunday night, we were talking about they saw some billboards that says, holiness is still right. All right. Holiness is still right. But do you know most of the churches don't believe that? But if, you know, be holy as who? I am holy. So the Lord requires it of us, doesn't he? And if we choose not to do it, if we continue in holiness, if we continue in charity, in the love of God, if we continue in sobriety, being sober, being balanced, what that means, not just soberness from drunkenness, but there is a balance, and we have to come to a spiritual balance. What tends to happen is folks are going in one direction that seems like it's just anything goes, spiritually speaking, and then everybody and somebody wants to come and change it over in this direction and say, well, nothing, we can't do anything. No, there's a balance to it. There's a balance to this spiritual walk with the Lord. You don't have to be way over here, and you don't have to be way over there. Lord, where is it that you want me to be? And that's where I'm going to continue.
Amen.
May the Lord help us. And I know of people that once were considered to be balanced, and now they're considered to be fanatical simply because they haven't changed. Because of the adjustment of our society, the adjustment of the Christian environment is that everything is going over to the side that anything goes. You can do whatever you want to, and you can commit whatever sins. You really can't live a holy and a righteous life. You can't be holy.
Therefore, the grace of God just covers. You just try to do the best you can. No, there's more. Jesus didn't die for you to do the best that you can. He died for you to be holy. May the Lord help us. All right. Colossians 4 and 2.
Continue in prayer.
And watching the same with thanksgiving. Do you continue to pray? You continue to be thankful? You continue to pray, to continue to watch, and continue to be thankful. Continue in that. You know, it's very important. One of the things that I've learned in my experience, when people stop praying like the Lord requires of them, praying is really a communication. It's like the supply cord to us, spiritually speaking. Just like you have these iPhones, your cell phone, you got to plug it in every now and then. You got to plug it in every day, don't you? If you use it at all, you've got to plug it in every day. And if you don't plug it in every day, it's going to run down. Well, do you know what? Reading and praying, you got to plug into the supply. You got to plug into the Lord, or you're going to run down. You're not going to be able to get through the trial that's scheduled for you today. Continue in prayer. Continue. And while you're going through the trial, do you stop praying? You just pray up to the trial? No, you pray in the trial. Continue praying. What does the scripture say? Pray without ceasing. Don't stop praying. Just like you don't stop breathing, you can't stop praying. Lord, help us. Continue. Saints, just keep going. You want more victory? Pray more. You want you plug it in, and then after you plug it in for a while, and it's 100%, right? You're there. You're able to 100% go through that trial just like you need to go through it. Is it going to take something out of you? Yes, but it's not going to take the love of God out of you. It's not going to take your determination out of you. You're going to continue in that. It's not going to take so much spiritual goods out that you're going to be spiritually bankrupt. It's not going to do that. You just keep going. You do what the Lord has shown you to do by the grace of God, all right? Pray without ceasing. Continue in prayer. All right, we're almost done. 2 Timothy 3 and 14. And someone get us 1 Timothy 4 and 16.
2 Timothy chapter 3, verse
15. Yes. Continue thou in the things which you have heard. These things that you have learned and you've been assured of. You know this is right. You know this is right.
Knowing of whom
thou hast learned them.
And that from a child that hath known the Holy Scriptures.
You from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures.
Which are able to make thee wise.
Unto salvation. All right. So he says continue in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of. We touched on that a little earlier. What the Lord wants you to do is, He wants you to stand by what you know is right. You know, there are some things that some places that, you know, or things that you face and you say, you know what, I want something sure. I learned something. I was telling somebody about a time that I've learned something in my travels. I tend to be a kind of a person that likes trying different things, right? And my wife tends to be just the opposite. So we were in Rome one time and we sat down at a restaurant. And she got spaghetti and meatballs. So I'm like, what's so exciting about spaghetti and meatballs? I mean, that's what you can have over in the U.S. Let's get something that's a little bit more exotic than that. So I saw something written down on the menu. Saw something that was some kind of meat that was aged for a certain period of time, and it was supposed to be a delicacy or something. It was on the menu and it was a nice restaurant. I got that because it was something I never had. I said, oh, that sounds good. It sounds like they kind of maybe smoked it and aged it for a space of time. Well, you know what I ended up wanting to eat? Spaghetti and meatballs. And you know why? Because this was aged for 6 months. I don't know what they do. It tasted like they hung it up in some house, some salt house, and aged it for 6 months. And I think that's what it said. It aged for a certain period of time. It tasted like...
Dried up.
No. Beef jerky is good. It tasted like spoiled meat that had been dried out. It sounded good on the menu. And it sounded good when the waiter explained it to me. But you know what? I learned that when you're in some places, you get what you're assured of. You get what you know. You eat what you know. Because I didn't eat that. I had to pay for it, but I didn't eat it. And so in the same way, there are some things, spiritually speaking, that you don't eat what you don't know. You don't know how it's going to affect you. You don't know how it's going to taste. You don't know if this is going to be good for you or not good for you. So you take the things that you are assured of. I know this works.
Amen.
Because it worked for them.
Right.
It worked. Spaghetti and meatballs works in America. It'll work over there as well, won't it? And so here, I know that you get the point in the analogy that I'm making here. But one of the things that we know it worked, who did you learn it from, Timothy? You learned it from your mother. You learned it from your grandmother. You saw their lives. You saw what they did. You saw how firm they were. You saw how the Lord blessed their lives. You be assured that if you stay in this thing, you continue on that, you're going to be blessed just like the Lord blessed them. Now you can try all this exotic stuff if you want to. You can do all the things that everybody else is doing, but you're not assured of that stuff. What you're assured of is what your mother did and what your grandmother did, and you continue in that. You continue in that. It works. Maybe it's not quite, it doesn't have all the frills. Maybe it doesn't have all the elaborate things that everybody, all the excitement that everything else has, but it'll take you through. So you continue in that. You continue in that. Okay, 1 Timothy 4:16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in this. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear you. You've heard me say many times that this is a scripture that the Lord gave me when He called me to the ministry. When I was shaded from any problems that may be, He said, you take heed unto yourself. You take heed unto the doctrine and you continue. You continue to do that. You continue to stand firm. You continue to stand true because you know what it's going to do? You'll save yourself. Because if you deviate in some kind of a way, if you deviate, it's going to affect you and it's going to affect those that you're ministering to. But if you continue in them, you shall both save yourself and them that hear thee. I know that came from the Lord. That's a revelation. So saints, you know why I'm still preaching what I preached when I started in 1988? It's because I'm assured of these things. I'm assured of who I learned them from. I'm assured of that. One other scripture, Galatians 6:9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap, if we faint not. When the time comes, we're gonna reap. And what is it? What did we say at the first scripture that we read? It's going to be eternal life. And it's going to be in the season that the Lord has. You know how you've heard it many times at funerals, how people say things like, the Lord come and the flower was just right, just the time, and the Lord picked it and took it home with Him to be in His bouquet, or however they say it, those elaborate words and whatnot. Well, you know, in due season, when it's our time to go, when the Lord's through with us, through using us here in this life, then He's going to give us a better one. When He's finished with the body, whatever it is that we can do, when we're finished, He's in due season, we're going to reap. But we can't faint. We've got to continue. If we faint not, if we continue in the faith, if we continue in prayer, if we can allow the brotherly love to continue, if we continue in holiness and charity and the love of God, if we do that, we're going to reap. If we faint now. Pray for me. Just have a number. Number 45.